Welcome, everyone.
Oh, okay.
I want to welcome you to the Oceano Community Services District, and this is the Board of Directors on Wednesday, June 25th, 2025, at 6 p.m. So we'll have a call to order, and now we'll have roll call.
Thank you. Director Austin?
Here.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President Rose?
Here.
And President Gibson?
Here. Would Director Joyce Sunnison please lead us in the flag salute?
Please stand. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll look at the agenda for review. Does anyone want to make any changes, adjustments to the agenda?
No.
Okay. No. I'll take a motion to accept it.
I move that we accept the agenda as presented.
A second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Roll call.
Director Villa?
Yes.
I didn't hear the second.
It was mine.
The second.
You were the
second. I was the first.
You were first. Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, and now we'll take public comment for items that are not on the agenda. So anybody can come up and speak for 3 minutes on anything not on the agenda. Okay, seeing none, we'll move forward. And we'll have committee reports from, presentations from the sheriff's station. See them. Fire chief.
President Gibson, I spoke with both Commander McDaniel and Chief Hallett. They both send the regards. Neither of them are available tonight, and they had nothing to report outside of the reports at our last meeting 2 weeks ago. And they both wanted me to remind everyone, with 4th of July coming up, we will be safe and we will be sane, and we will not have any fireworks in Oceano this year.
Okay.
And you can say that with a straight face.
Yeah, I'm sure they're planning right now. Big job for them. Okay, so we'll have Mr. Maricino come up and give us an operations report.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 89.3% full, which is 44,196 acre feet. We are continuing to do daily rounds, weekly samples, 5 work orders, 9 USAs, 8 customer service calls. We had 2 after-hours call-outs. One was on Tamara for a broken service line on Sunday, which all 3 of us went out there and got it repaired. The second call out was for Paul Place. The house valve was shut off and the residents had no water. And the operator responded and got the water back on. We have moved into the modular. It does have power and internet. We spent a day and a half on interviews. We did select 2 candidates and sent them offer letters. One candidate has a D2, a T2, and a Class A. So his training is right there. And the other candidate is bilingual and has also a Class A. We had door hangers for non-payments. We had to replace the pump at Well 8, the chlorine pump. Weed abatement at the district properties on Highway 1. We got 2 pieces of property over there on Highway 1. And we also weed abatement the county's basin on 21st and Wilmar. We vacuumed out the lift station and got that all ready to go before the 4th of July. We also had lock-off for no payments, and we are still picking up trash. The end-of-year inventory, we have started at the beginning of this week, which includes all the service trucks and the yard, every part, piece, and tool possible. We'll have that completed by Friday. And just want to give you a fun little fact. We currently have 41 open projects that do take the utility and administrative time. That includes ADUs, remodels, garages, modulars, commercial buildings, new single-family residents, and mixed use. And staff did complete and submit the required cross-connection control plan before July 1st deadline. and received an approval from the State Water Resource Control Board on the 24th. The next step is to bring it an ordinance before the board to consider the enforcement updates on the August board meeting. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
When you say Class A, are you referring to a heavy equipment operator?
CDL. Anything, basically, you can drive on the road. We're required to have a Class A because of our jetter trailer. It's over 10,001 pounds.
Right.
Yes, so CDL, Class A, yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, no more questions? Okay, and then we'll have our general manager, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. A few items to go over in terms of the GM report. I think it's worth noting that at our June 11th meeting 2 weeks ago, the board adopted new five-year rates for both our water and sewer utilities through 2030. The questions that were asked by the board and customers were excellent related to the topic, and those are still up on our website for FAQs, and I encourage folks to review those. I wanted to take a moment to thank staff for their work on the water and sewer CIPs, in particular, Mr. Maricino and Mr. Sparling on their work on the sewer CIP development. The office staff did a lot of amazing work on the rate studies themselves, including the Prop 218 noticing and a lot of customer service with protest letters. And the board, as a matter of fact, for your understanding of the financial issues, compassion and understanding the ratepayers' perspective while providing strong leadership and making difficult decisions for the district's future. In terms of the capital improvement plans, we are reviewing MKN's administrative draft of our completed sewer CIP, and staff will be bringing that full plan to both our CIP committee and the board for review and adoption this summer and fall. Staff has had several meetings this week regarding finalizing our grant application for the $1.7 million million gallon tank rehab. As you recall, we did finish our rehab last year of the 300,000 gallon tank, and we're looking to do a similar project with our larger tank and get some grant funds to do that. And we expect to submit all of our grant applications to the state in the month of July for that project. I wanted to update the board that staff is working with legal counsel on a few issues related to maintenance and ownership of OCSD parcels versus county parcels, working with the county on that issue, as well as the value of consolidation agreements with new service areas like Halcyon and Kenmar Gardens. So there'll be some decisions made in terms of whether or not to use those consolidation agreements now that the state isn't requiring them. And then we're also continuing to work on the Lopez Environmental Species Act issues related to steelhead trout habitat and impacts and costs to Lopez surface water. I want to let the board know that I applied for and received a $1,500 grant to attend the CSDA General Managers Summit Conference, and that's next week. So I will not be in the office, but I will be working on my leadership and communication skills at that conference. I mentioned for the 4th of July, please be advised, just a reminder that fireworks of any kind are no longer permitted in Oceano. And please, of course, everyone be safe over the holiday weekend. And then I wanted to note the board that I did have a few future agenda item requests. One came at our last meeting, which is kind of look at our water portfolio and usage and options for resiliency and diversity. And I also received a request to kind of go over our grant-funded projects, applications pending, applications received, to kind of give the board and the community a full picture of how we're doing with grants and which ones are pending. So I'll be bringing that forward as well at a future meeting. And that concludes my general manager's report.
Okay. I just wanted to add to the sewer and water rates that, you know, personally, it's difficult to raise the rates for everyone. You know, we all have to pay more for what we receive, but you know, it is the board's responsibility to provide for upgrades and planning for the future. So I think that we did the best job that we could. And you know, if people are very unhappy, then they always have the ballot box. And every other year, two of us are up for, or some of us are up for re-election, so people can keep that in mind. Okay, we'll move on to our outside committee reports, and I attended the Sanitation District, and basically that was to finalize the budget And then we are to receive the monies from Kennedy Jinks that we had to pay up front for the repair for the redundancy, and we're supposed to receive those funds either this month or next month in July. Director Rose?
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Director Austin? Director Villa?
Well, all I just wanted to say that I think it wasn't mentioned in our last Parks and Rec report that we did present to the board and voted on lowering the amount of the funds from the administrative fund to Parks and Rec from 1.5 to 1%. So that'll, we were fine with that because we're now meeting with, you know, every other month, and there'll be some savings.
To Director Villa's point, that is included. Mr. Cassiola is going to go over the preliminary budget during our public hearing, and that recommendation from OPARC is included in the staff report for the budget.
That's okay. It. Nothing else to report.
Okay, thank you. And Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes, I have to report the community, the Oceano Beach Community Association has recommended Charles Barney to represent them as on the board for parks, for OPARC. And I see no reason why we wouldn't. I mean, he's a valuable member to OPARC, and he's even, you know, continued to help and volunteer even without a seat on the board, on the committee. So I see that it is not an action item on the agenda, but it is mentioned in the agenda, and I would like to bring that back next meeting as an action item.
Director Joyce Sunderson, I recommend, I appreciate your comment. I recommend that on item 11, when we get to that, we can discuss that received communication, and if the board wants to request things come back at that time, we'll do it at that item. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, so we'll take public comment on the special presentations and committee reports. And I see no takers in the audience. Okay, we'll close public comment. And we'll look at the consent agenda items. Does anyone have any questions, comments? So we're review and approve the minutes from June 11th, 2025. Review and approve the minutes from June 11th, 2025. The cash disbursements and second reading of an ordinance amending District Code Chapter 1.06.010, allowing the district to adopt rates and fees by resolution and waive the second reading. If we don't have any comments,
I move that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Okay, first.
I second that.
And a second. Roll call.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, and now we'll look at hearing items. 8A. District vacancies report pursuant to Assembly Bill 2561.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. So in 8A, we have a public hearing for the district's vacancies pursuant to Assembly Bill 2561. So just some quick background, AB 2561 was enacted in 2024, so that's the first time we're holding a public hearing like this. And it requires public agencies to report on our staffing, recruitment, and retention efforts. The bill provides that if vacancy rates in any bargaining unit exceeds over 20%, then the agency must provide a presentation and further information. So our district has one representative bargaining unit, and that's called the Service Employee International Union, so SEIU. They represent 5 full-time positions and 1 part-time, so for a total of 6. We invited Rob Perry of SEIU. He is their local representative. And He could, unfortunately couldn't make it, but he provided comment on an attached letter, which is on page 25 of your agenda. And the district also has 3 unrepresented full-time employees in management. So as of December 31st, 2024, which is what this report asked, we had 1 of the 6 unrepresented positions open, so 17%. This position was later filled on January 20th. And as of today, the district currently, this is not part of the report, this is more of just for your knowledge. As of today, we currently have 1 position open, a utility systems operator, which Tony discussed earlier, that we're in the middle of recruitment and finalizing and running background checks. And then also another position to be approved in the next item. So just to be clear, that's why there's 2. We have 1 open that fills the 3rd, and then we have a 4th to be approved in the preliminary budget in our next public hearing item, 8B.
Okay.
So with that, this is a public hearing, so we have to open the public hearing, hear public testimony, and then close it, and then we will be adopting this report that is on page 24 of your agenda, which states we had 1 position open on December 31st, 2024. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I'm just curious why this bill was created, the assembly bill, the reason for it.
President Gibson, my understanding was that in the state of California, with some of our labor shortages on the technical side and in the public sector, there was a desire to kind of have more transparency about what certain agencies are doing to fulfill their, you know, job vacancies. And I think this is one of the ways to do it, was to create this step. It's fairly easy for us to report, and I think in general it's good to do an annual look at this. I know that for a small district like ours, we've had a pretty solid and regular staff filled positions. As someone who moved last year from the Bay Area, I know from those larger Bay Area communities, vacancies are a real problem and the percentages are really high. And so beginning to address what you're doing to recruit and retain is super important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the assembly really isn't looking at the OCSD?
I'm not going to guess that they are too much on this one. But okay. But I would invite the board and the public to read the letter from Rob Perry. I thought it was nice of him to put that together in terms of the local SEIU.
Okay. All right, so we'll open the public hearing for comments. Okay, I guess we'll bring it back to the board, close the public hearing.
I do have a question.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask who the unrepresented employees are?
Of course. Yeah, it's our utility account administrators. So we have 2 of those full-time, 1 part-time. Then we have the 3, one's a lead operator, and 2 are utility systems operator currently.
Thank you.
Soon to be 3 utility systems operator.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense now. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So do we do anything beyond having the public hearing?
Open and close public hearing, and then you'll vote on the item and we'll move on.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we close the public hearing.
We accept the report.
Yeah.
I move that we accept the report.
Give me a second.
I second that.
Okay. First and a second.
Thank you. Director Villa.
Yes.
Director Joyce Sonneson.
Yes.
Director Austin.
Yes.
Vice President Rose.
Yes.
And President Gibson.
Yes. Okay, and now we're on to 8B. And hold a public hearing for consideration of recommendations to adopt resolutions approving the fiscal year 2025 and 26 preliminary budget and the fiscal year 2025-26 appropriation limitation, and to set August 13, 2024 as the date of the public hearing to consider the adoption of the 2025-26 final budget.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. Today we are here for the public hearing on the preliminary budget for next year, so starting July 1st, so for fiscal year 2025-26. So your board considered a draft budget at your May 14th meeting. I received no comments, and since then, we presented this to the Oceano Capital Improvement Program Committee on May 28th. Then we also presented it to the Oceano Parks and Recreation Committee on June 10th, which Director Villa was speaking to earlier. Both committees supported this preliminary budget. We also noticed this public hearing in the Tribune, the website, and front office. And then also, as you guys know, on June 11th, our last meeting, we held the water and wastewater rate hearing, which in that draft that we had presented in May, we had already included those, so it required no adjustments in the budget. So I kind of wanted to get a gauge of the board. Do you want me to run through the entire presentation that we had on May 14th, or would you like to just hear about the resolutions that are that are in front of you today? I'm happy to do either way.
I think just the resolutions.
Yes.
Are fine.
Yeah, just fine. Resolutions. Okay.
Resolutions.
Yeah. All right. So part of the preliminary budget is adopting our appropriation limitations for the fiscal year. So what the appropriation limitations are, it's the level of appropriations from tax sources, which are our property taxes that are permitted to be spent. So each year we modify that limit for the increase in population in the unincorporated area of San Luis Obispo and the increase in California per capita income, which is determined by the State Department of Finance. So this year we do have an amendment to the appropriation limitations, which we've never done before. And that's because we divested our fire and emergency services to the County of San Luis Obispo. So we will be lowering that limit by $1.4 million, since the county will only be sending us that 3.85% of property taxes for lighting and recreation. So our next step with that resolution is also a resolution to adopt the preliminary budget. So there's two resolutions included in this board packet. And if there's any other questions related to maybe a certain line item, or if you want me to review a particular fund, I'm happy to do that. Otherwise, we're gonna open the public hearing, receive public comment, and then close the public hearing, and you guys can direct me to make any changes to be incorporated into the budget before those resolutions are adopted. So with that, let me know if there's any funds you would like me to jump to.
Does the board have any comments?
No.
On this hearing? Okay, then we'll open public comment for the public hearing. This is on the budget. Do we have anyone that wants to come up and speak on that? Okay, seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for more discussion or a motion.
Okay. So what are we motioning for to approve the?
There's actually three items. So staff is looking for adopting the two resolutions, one for the preliminary budget approval, one for the new appropriation limit, and the other to set the final public hearing on August 13th for the final budget. Those are the three items we're asking for.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Can we have a first and a second?
President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Okay, good. And now we have 8C, action to hold a public hearing for consideration of approving a resolution to collect delinquent customer accounts on the 2025-26 property tax bill.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. So this is, our 16th year collecting our delinquent accounts with the property taxes, and this will be for the 2025-2026 year. So a timeline recap: at your May 14th meeting, we set today's public hearing to hear the accounts that are delinquent. Staff noticed the customers by mail, certified mail, and we did that on May 19th. The letters for both our accounts, so that would be water and wastewater customers, and solid waste customers, which are established and provided by our hauler, South County Sanitation Services, of their outstanding bills. So that list has been provided and attached to your agenda item. So as of today, we've had two solid waste customers pay, and for water and wastewater, we've had none. So since the notice were sent out, we've only had two solid waste and no water and wastewater. But just to give you guys a heads up, our timeline, we won't be sending this until July 22nd. So we give our customers till July 18th, which is a Friday, to pay. So they will be removed. So even though this resolution is adopted today, if anyone pays their OCSD outstanding balance, they will be removed before then.
Okay.
So with that, there is a draft resolution for your board to consider, but we will need to hear public testimony, mm-hmm. and we'll also have to close the public hearing. And mm-hmm. based on the attached timeline that the county provides us, mm-hmm. this will be due to the county auditor by July 22nd. And okay. so with that, I know there might be some questions about the noticing and the 120 delinquency, which I might need assistance with legal counsel during public. I know I'm going to have some questions on. So with that, are there any questions from the board?
Why don't you go over that with legal counsel?
Okay. Yes. Just so we noticed the customers on May 19th. And then now they are due by July 18th, excuse me. So we have a customer that wanted to know if that is the proper noticing period to place a lien on a property. Okay, it's just the 120 delinquency is based on how we can't put them on the lien unless they've been delinquent with us right. 120 days, but we notice them within 60.
Oh,
okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay,
that
so
was clear.
So gives them kind of plenty of time.
Okay, with that, do you have any other questions?
Anyone on the board have any questions? No. Okay, no. Then we'll open a public hearing, and this is about delinquent collecting delinquent customer accounts. And okay, welcome.
Is this on? Oh, it is. Oh, he does on the light. Hi, Clayton Gambrell. I'm a property manager. So she was talking about me who brought up that date. My situation is kind of unique, where you have a tenant who moved out in September, and I already refunded their security deposit. And now I have to go and chase them down. And I just found out about it a month ago. So now I have 30 more days. He said he paid you guys directly, but it hasn't been received. So that's, I guess, timing-wise, I'm not arguing that there was the bill, but I wasn't the end user. I had no control over that. I didn't sign up as the financial kind of party. So I just don't fully understand how a bill that I just kind of got notified about 30 days ago is now going to be put on our property taxes. Seems like it should be, I guess, at least noticed to me much earlier, because the bill was sent in May, but he was turned off the service in September. So why didn't the property owner get notified, I don't know, in the past 6 months? So I guess that's it.
Ms. Casciola, can you talk briefly about our system? I know that we have both tenants and we have property owners, and there's different ways to receive bills. And what conditions do we allow the property owner or the tenant to receive the bill directly, and do some receive both, like both the property owner and the tenant? How does our system work?
Of course. So yes, there's two options. A tenant can become a customer of ours. It was because of SB 998, I believe, in 2020 that was adopted. We take a $120 deposit, and you hope that that covers the amount when they get their final bill, but it doesn't always. And then we also have the option, it's called a courtesy notice. It does cost $2.40 every bill. That's where the bill is sent to the resident, and then it's also sent to the landlord. We also have the option where, if a landlord would like to get copies of their bills to know where their tenants stand, we can email a bill to both, obviously, the tenant and the landlord. The printed one would only be sent to the tenant unless they paid that $2.40 extra, but that can be set up for a landlord. But we do need to have that landlord's email and information for that information to get to them.
So that,
but then door hangers have to go on the property. We don't email those. Those aren't mailed. Those are delivered right at the door.
So if a tenant comes in and gets service, the property owner could come in separately on their own and say, I'm the property owner. I want to get the courtesy notice.
Of course.
They have that ability to do that, even without the tenant's permission.
But the $2.40 would be on the tenant's bill.
Yeah, okay, unless they get it by email.
Unless they get it by email. That's free.
Okay.
And then,
We are now set up.
Now we're set up.
We're now set up.
Right. And then one more question, just so I think maybe everybody's thinking the same thing. What happens in, whether it's September or November, right? Obviously now we're in June. But what is our noticing procedure for late bills? You know, do they always just go to whatever's been already set up, or do we ever notify the property owner automatically at some point? Is this the annual time we do it? How does that work?
Yes, good question. This is the annual time we do it. When a tenant is leaving, and obviously when they're leaving, they might not be at that property and we're about trying to get them their final bill, we'll update their address, because they're the ones we have contact with, to get to that final bill to wherever they're moving or wherever they need us to mail it to. But this is the annual time to do it, and it has to be 120 days delinquent. So that's how it's from 2024 December.
And they had to pay the deposit?
Tenant.
And then the last bill wasn't covered by the deposit?
Then they find themselves on this list.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that information. It's very detailed. Would anyone else like to speak? Okay, seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for discussion.
I do have a question I'm not understanding. So the tenant moved out in September, mm-hmm. and the owner just got the bill.
Right, because we mailed the owners the attached letter to notice them that we haven't had payment. There was a new tenant that opened an account. That's how their water has remained on. The previous tenant had their water turned off and back on. But the reason they're still on is a new tenant moved in, gave us $120, and now they are paying their bill for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the old tenant's bills prior to September.
It was from sometime in 2022 to November 2024-ish.
That's how long we had service. And this is for a restaurant, not a single-family home.
Okay.
So it was a larger bill, which is kind of a surprise that I got a month ago.
All right. I'm just trying to understand.
How much
Thank
is
you.
He?
I think it was
808-12.
Any more board questions?
808-16.
I was thinking it was at an apartment. Why was I thinking it was an apartment?
A commercial space. I had one more question that may or may not be helpful. Can you get off of this list and not be on the property tax rolls? Like, how does someone who doesn't want the bill to come on their property tax, can they address it by coming in and paying the outstanding balance?
Yes, they can. They have till July 18th to pay it, and then they can be removed from the list.
Okay, thank you.
So they have to pay the whole amount?
Whole amount.
So are you here asking for a reduction or?
I don't want to go on the property taxes, but the tenants moved out of state, so now I'm communicating through email and text messages to try to get them to mail you guys a check and then kind of be the middleman to get you guys paid. So I guess I just don't want to know how long it's going to take. And I don't trust that he's going to get it here within a month.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to end up paying it, and then I don't have any kind of leverage. I'm going to have to go sooner than I get that money. I don't know how to get since I've already refunded this $3,500 security deposit, which California requires us to refund under 2 weeks after move out. So I wish I would have been able to know that it was behind, withhold that from the security deposit, mm-hmm. and you guys would be paid by me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carrie, I don't know if you know this, or maybe Jeff could chime in. I know with weed abatement, if you don't do it within that time frame, you lose it until, and you can't do it next year. Do you know the answer on whether if we were to hold off on this case, if that's what the board wanted to do, would we would lose that ability to lien it though next year, I believe, and that's why you can't, you have a certain period of time where you have to do it to get it on the tax rolls, and you can't do it, you have to do it now, you can't do it the year after.
You have to lien it and then deal.
Yeah.
If you're asking.
Yeah. So that's the problem, sure, even though he's asking that you don't lien it and you trust that he can get it resolved. If he wasn't able to get it resolved, then you would lose the opportunity to lien it. You can always lien it and take it off the minute he gets it resolved.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
The motion would be to adopt the attached resolution to collect delinquent customer accounts on the 2026 property tax bills.
Okay. So moved.
A second.
First and a second.
President Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And Director Villa?
Yes.
Okay, now we'll move on to our business items, and we'll review a review of the Northern Cities Management Area Annual Report for 2024.
All right, so I believe this one's me. Okay. The NCMA? Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah.
So 9A, this is an information item. I wanted the board and the community to be aware of our annual reporting of our Northern Cities Management Area Groundwater Management Program, and that is now up on our website. It was a little too big to attach to this agenda, but I did want to kind of go over some of the high-level health of our groundwater basin. The short story is that it's in really good condition. The 2022 and 2023 water years were really strong, and we noticed that in our groundwater monitoring, our groundwater levels came up quite a bit during those wet years. And we, as an organization, are allocated about 900 acre feet that we're allowed to pull out of the groundwater basin annually. We don't really ever come close to pulling that much. In fact, our total usage is, you know, closer to that 750 acre feet, I think, last year, for total jurisdiction-wide. But I think it's important to kind of have an understanding of how well we are collaborating with the communities of Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande on our monthly monitoring of the groundwater basin, and really collaboration. If you were to ask, is there any concerns with the groundwater basin, the one that comes up is really the NCMA boundary with the Napomo Mesa management area. And we talk about that a little bit, I think, on the third page of the staff report. We believe, and we have proof that there could be overdraw on the Napomo Mesa in terms of water coming out of the ground. And because of the interconnected nature of the Santa Maria groundwater basin, what that ends up doing is it has a flow of water from our area where our wells are that goes towards the Napomo area. And so we're going to continue to work with our partners in Napomo and making sure that they're importing enough surface water, which really is the solution, right? So the more surface water you bring in, the less you need to pull the groundwater. Of course, as Mr. Minery will tell you, it's a partially adjudicated basin, and that means that the municipal areas are required to cap and report all of their groundwater usage, but the other users, in this case, the ag users, don't really, we end up estimating on their behalf how much is being used, but there is really no cap or requirement for ag usage. But In my work on the NCMA technical committee for the last year, I've learned a great deal, and then the partnerships are strong, and the condition of the groundwater basin is healthy, and so that is a good thing, and we'll continue to monitor that and report on it. So happy to take any questions that the board may have on the NCMA annual report.
So you're saying that we ask them to essentially use more surface water and not groundwater?
Well, I think one of the questions that comes up is that Dana Preserve project, right? So there's a big new development coming into Napomo, and they are not tapping into any of the groundwater, so they're going to have to bring in surface water for that development. I think there's some capacity issues with the pipe to get water to Napomo, and that is working on being expanded. So we believe that there is solutions that are going to benefit in the future, but it's just a matter of continuing to monitor and test and ensure that conditions don't deteriorate.
Yeah, so there's no way to hold anybody accountable, right? I mean,
well,
per se,
the lawsuits are what have held people accountable. Yeah. And so I think until you get to the point where you're, suing another entity for violation of the stipulation, that's kind of the only real recourse. We're not anywhere near that stage, but as I said, that the state of the groundwater basin is healthy. The water quality is good. I know if Mr. Machino wants to chime in, we relied heavily on our groundwater basin when we had the boil water notice and we turned off Lopez. Both Rio Grande and Grover and Oceana were able to turn fully to groundwater, which is pretty unusual for us. Normally, we bring in a little bit of groundwater to augment our surface supplies, but it was really important to have that resource. And one of the things we're going to look at is how that week-long period of everybody putting their straws in the cup and pulling out groundwater, how did that affect the groundwater levels? And we're going to have some really good data for that because we had that event at the end of April, beginning of May. So we'll be sure and keep you apprised of that.
The only other thing that could happen is if the ag people are ever metered.
Yeah. They're not. We do have some good tools to estimate how much they use based on crop type and time of year, and so we're actually looking at kind of revamping some of our modeling, using more aerial imagery as opposed to just a straight modeling tool, which says if you have this many acres of this crop, it's about this much water. Instead, we can look at aerial photography and see, you know, how moist the soil is and have maybe more refined tools to do that. So that's something that the NCMA is working on.
So right now there's just speculation that they're using
more
estimated.
Water.
It's estimated that they're using more water than they should, not necessarily ag people or just...
Well, most of the water that is not municipal is going to ag. That's true.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple farmers that acknowledge that at some point they will be metered. Who knows when, though.
So, yeah, this has already been submitted to the court, and it's been posted on the OCSD website. This is not an action item. It's an information item for the board this evening.
And I'd just like to add that it's actually really an interesting report if you want to learn about water. Local water, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. It is long, but very interesting. Okay, so are you just looking at approval of our review, or
no need to approve? It's an information item, but I thought it would be good to be transparent and show both our quarterly report and our annual report.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay, we'll move to.
Want to open public comment and see if there's any of that first.
Public comment on the NCMA report. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and basically receive and file. Okay.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay, and now we'll go to item B, audited financial statements and independent auditor's report. Prepared by Moss Levy and Hartzheim LLP.
Thank you, Director Gibson, President Gibson, members of the board. So yeah, 9B, we have the final June 30th, 2024 audited financials by Moss, Levy, and Hertzheim. So each year, the district is required to provide regular audits of our accounts and records of state. This then goes to the state, the county, and LAFCO, and it has to be done for June 30th. In 2023, the board went out to RFP, and that is when we granted the next 3 years to Moss, Levy, and Hertzheim. So this will actually be the last, the upcoming one will be the last of that contract. So next year, when we review the audit, we'll also be bringing to you a request for proposal to post on our website for new auditing services. So we have the final audit attached to the staff letter. Included in the final audit is our internal controls report, which includes the 2023 findings regarding utility receipts. That has been resolved, and as you can see, for 2024, there have been no findings. The management and discussion analysis has also been included in the audit report. This gives operational and historical context for upcoming issues, for example, the fire and emergency divestiture, and our Prop 218 hearings were both mentioned in that report, which is provided by management. So with that, if there are any questions, this will be a receive and file, and then also transmitted to the state, the county auditor, and LAFCO. So with that, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I was just curious on the year that we had the issue with the employee. Mm-hmm. Did we recover funds from that?
No.
Why is that?
I believe it's still outstanding with the
investigation?
Yeah.
With the court and the
DA. With the district attorney's office.
Wow.
Yeah, we've met with them. Mr. Schultz has reached out to them. Ms. Cassiola has met with them, and we've provided them with all the information we have.
So you have talked to them?
Yeah, not lately, so I will make another call to them, but I do know of another white-collar crime, if you want to call it that, embezzlement, and it's they're also having the same difficult time when getting them to file charges. It's been a long time also, so I don't know if they're backed up on it. And there is a lot of forensic evidence that they have to go through to show the proof of it, but I'll follow up again with them and see. And then maybe we can even hold a closed session on it, on what other remedies we might have that we could take.
Well, I'm glad to see that we got a clean bill of health. That's good. What is our, Mr. Brown, what's our standard or policy towards new, you know, accounting firms? Or, you know, how do we usually handle that?
In terms of providing our audits?
No, in terms of going out for bid or not, having different auditors maybe.
Yeah. Well, we're free to do that at any time. I think we've had a good relationship with this firm, and they're reasonably priced, but we certainly can go back out, and if the board's interested, put this out and see what comes back out in terms of, you know, responses to requests for proposals.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious.
Ms. Cassiola, yeah. You have more experience with them. Do you have any?
So you know, this this upcoming audit would be the final of our 3-year contract.
There you go.
And so I will be bringing in a request for proposal with the next audit, which would be fiscal year 2024-25, because it's 1 year behind. So the next one would be coming with an RFP, unless you want to do it earlier.
Okay, and they were not the firm that we hired for the forensic?
No.
Okay, so that was a different one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, they weren't allowed to do this. They're not allowed to be your auditor and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Any more comments here before public comment?
Well, I just want to make it known that the corrected the problem that she was able to do that. It's been so. In other words, if it hasn't, we haven't gone to that. It can't be done again.
Right. You correct. Know, yeah. There's corrections that would be made.
Yeah, and that's actually noted in the report. Yeah. Ms. Cassiola can tell you what page. Right. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
So
yeah.
I think that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
page 139.
Okay, we'll take public comment on this. Okay. No one's interested in the audit. Okay, then we'll close public comment. And any more comments, questions? Or I'll entertain a motion.
This is just receive and file.
Right.
We don't need a motion.
Unless you want to give a motion for a new RFP.
No. Okay, we'll just receive and file. Okay. We don't have a closed session today, and received written communications.
Thank you, President Gibson. This is our last item, I believe, of the evening. We did have one receive written communication, and it was brought up earlier, but I think now that we're at that time of the agenda, we received a letter from the Oceano Beach Community Association requesting that Mr. Varney be placed by the board onto OPARC to fill that position. A little bit of background and history. Mr. Varney was on the committee prior. He applied to be a community member, like a community member at large. If I recall correctly, there was a 3-2 vote back in February. And he did not receive enough votes to be put back on the OPARC committee. But you can all read the letter. It speaks of his interest and abilities to participate in the community via the OPARC committee. And Mr. Varney did submit an application for the board's consideration. And again, this is only a correspondence because, at least from our perspective, the board has already voted on this issue. Per our bylaws, if no fewer than two board members requested staff to bring it back on a future agenda, if the board wanted to reconsider this, that could also happen. But I'm happy to turn it over to the board for any discussion on this written correspondence.
Okay, any comments, questions by the board?
Well, no. I think he should be allowed to be on the Parks and Rec because he was a founding member and was so instrumental with the getting the track here at Oceano School, and it's already started. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that
it's already started.
Yeah, that was quick. Yeah. Okay. Let's open that to the public. Anyone want to speak on this issue? Okay. Close public comment and back to the board. So basically receive and file.
I think we should just leave it as is. We've already voted on it once. I don't see any reason to bring it back to the table. So I think
we should bring it back to the table.
I'm talking, excuse me. I think we should receive and file and move forward. The committee has new faces, new things to think about, and I think that if he wants to volunteer and help out in other areas, that's great. But we've already made the decision. That's my statement. Thank you.
To put an item on the agenda, you just need two. So if there's two would be on it, it's not something that we can discuss because it's not on the agenda. So it's just whether there's two board members that want to put it on the agenda for a discussion.
I'd like to put it on the agenda.
Okay, so this isn't a vote.
No, it'll
be next meeting.
Yeah, it's not on the agenda. So there really should be a discussion, the pros and cons. So those can all be brought up at your next meeting. And
exactly.
The public then has the ability to weigh in on the issue.
Yeah, you're just giving direction.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
To the general manager.
Just to be clear, I heard from Director Joyce Sunderson there was at least one member that wanted to come back. Is there a second director that would like this to be agendized? Mm-hmm. Director Villa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to be instrumental anyways because even if he's not at large, he's still going to volunteer as much as he can above and beyond. So
we'll hold that discussion for the next meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll debate the merits when it comes back as an agendized item. And staff can do this at the August meeting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, now Future agenda items. Anyone have anything to put on the agenda besides that?
No.
Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Second. Thank you for everybody for coming.
I know.